All right, take two, mate.
Let's go.
We're recording again. We're actually recording this time. Guys, bit of behind the curtain. We just started. We have had a great chat and then I realized we weren't recording. So yeah. Let's
start
again.
It's not like I had a booger in my nose or something like that. We had to start again. Okay, good.
We are here with Chris Jones today from Davey Real Estate.
Thanks, Jess.
Thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
I just kind of did a bit of a spiel, but we do not have a co-host today. It's just me back on the tools with no support. First time in a while.
Episode number
86. Good. We're nearly at 100. We're pushing.
Yeah, we're pushing.
It's been a few years. So let's get stuck straight into it, Chris. You are selling, working in Duncraig, have lived there, you were just telling me, for 18 years.
18 years, yeah.
Are you Northern Suburbs boy through and through?
Not really. Western Suburbs. Grew up in Floreat.
Very nice.
Was very lucky to grow up in an area like that.
Yeah.
Lived there for 21 years. Still can't drive past the house I grew up in.
You're like, my dad's like that. Yeah. But he definitely didn't grow up in Floreat.
Yeah. Purchased first home in Carinup. Always surfed, so I've always travelled up and down the north coast. And then met my lovely wife, and she actually grew up in Duncraig as well. So in-laws are still there. Funny story. Sorry to jump straight into it.
No, please do.
We knew each other for 4 months. I was looking to reinvest. She was looking to invest. We bought a house together.
After four months. Wow, that's a big risk.
Crazy.
Would you recommend your daughters do that?
Nope. we rented out for a while then moved in. So it ended up working out very well. And 18 years later, we're still there. And yeah.
Yeah, right. I feel like Duncraig is one of those suburbs that if you grow up there, a lot of people would stay. Is that kind of correct?
Yes, yeah, it definitely seems to be a forever suburb.
Yeah.
The biggest source of, I guess, listings is downsizing.
Yeah. Okay.
The other D word is there, divorce.
Yeah.
But not that there's a high rate, I shouldn't say that. But, downsizing, people there long term, and it's mainly around the school.
Yeah, okay. So they're ready to move to something smaller and potentially just a little bit further away from the school.
Yeah, well, no, just more so they've been there for the schooling. You know, their kids have grown up now left the house, and the house is just too big.
Yeah.
You know, some big properties there. But, you know, it's 90, I think last census it was 90% unoccupied. So it's,
You
know, it's not a big rental suburb at the moment. So
Okay. So tell me, you just mentioned divorce. I was talking to Shane Penny the other day from Ellenbrook. He said that the three major factors for a real estate agent, the three big D's, divorce, death, and da bank manager.
Yeah, da bank. Yep.
How are the rate rises? Median house price 820. What's the sentiment like there at the moment amongst your sellers? How are rate rises kind of impacting?
Yeah, it's at the moment it's not a conversation.
Yeah.
I know that sounds a little bit naive, but a lot of buyers are coming in. The odd buyer tries to use it as a conversation piece, and that's, look, I totally get it. I think majority of us do have a mortgage, and the last 18 months has been pretty tough.
Yeah.
Seeing it go up. But the demand for the area is just so large that even if you were to take out 30% of the market, still going to be having multiple offers first weekend and whatnot. It is, it's a family suburb and it's definitely on the map. And I think because it is quite a high owner occupancy rate, the community's really good. So what I'm finding is, a lot of the buyers that I'm selling to, they're like, oh, you sold a friend's house a few years ago. They've told us we have to move into Duncraig, things like that.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, the talk is definitely around the suburb and it's amenities and its community, I think. So
what is it? Tell me about the suburb a little bit. Obviously you mentioned the schools, high school.
Yeah, so there's two major high schools.
Yeah.
So 4,500 approximately homes.
Yeah.
R codes are mainly the R20, so they're big blocks.
Big blocks.
You know, there are some rezoning that has happened as most suburbs around high transport areas. So two major high schools, Careen and Duncraig High.
So both really highly regarded schools.
Split by Warwick Road. Depending on who you talk to, Careen was always the big one in the 90s and early 2000s. Duncraig played a second fiddle to that. Now they're in some parts outperforming Careen. So the north part of Duncraig's really turned on. And then you have four primary schools as well. And each primary school, depending on who you ask, is the favourite.
Is the best primary school. Yeah. So tell me, stock levels are dropping week on week. When are they going to stop? Nobody knows. 5, 3, 2, 8 this week, number of listings on the market.
Yep.
You
crazy, isn't it?
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
So crazy. in such a tightly held pocket, how are you finding stock for you at the moment?
Yeah, stock for me. Yeah, look, it's low. It's yeah. Things have definitely changed. And, you know, go back 2 years ago, you know, you were that busy that you'd get the odd listing in areas that you probably were happy to get someone to help
flick
you out
off.
Or flick it off to someone in yep. the in the office. Whereas now, wherever you go.
Yeah. Now you're driving to Mandurah on the weekend.
Yeah, 100%. You know, wherever you need to go. And yeah. and that's real estate. You yeah. know, you've just got to adapt as you go. Mm-hmm. But in Duncraig and surrounds, yes, stock level is very low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess the biggest thing that I'm finding, the biggest sticking point at the moment is because we're talking about downsizers, the downsizers are trying to find somewhere to go.
Yeah, that's the problem, right?
That's the biggest problem, you yeah. know. So it's a bit of a stalemate.
Yeah. They're ready to go and they've got nowhere to go.
Plenty of properties ready to go.
Yeah.
Plenty of properties ready to go. So you just got to get smarter,
yeah.
you know, in how you combat that.
Mm-hmm.
So and
you open know, a B&B out the back.
Yeah, well, I told a few people I've got a shed out the back. They can come and live with me for a while. But you know, look, it's more so about looking at how you can work with that client to have them ready,
mm-hmm.
and then probably work a little bit harder on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So while yes, you know, eventually, hopefully they'll use you to sell the house. Maybe working for free on the other side, trying to
as a
find
kind of buyer's manager,
yeah,
yeah 100%. Buyer's agent.
You know, I've got a pretty good rapport with. With agents around the surrounding areas,
yeah,
you know, some open communication. So as long as you're open,
yep.
I think everyone appreciates that.
Yeah,
say, hey, look, we're ready to go. They're realistic in price. What have you got coming up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's work together. And I think it's in everyone's as long as the price is right and mm-hmm. the seller's getting the right return for it. I think it's in everyone's best interest in the industry and also the general public to be looking at working together
yep.
to free up some homes as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
Tell me about the rest of the office. Davies, obviously a strong brand up in the northern suburbs. You guys have got some great reps up there. What's the kind of chat around the office like at the moment with you guys?
Really lucky in that office.
Yeah.
People, without sounding too cliche, it's a big family.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we've got the three offices, a massive rental portfolio,
mm-hmm.
Some really key reps in key areas as well, but we all share.
Yeah.
We hang out socially and whenever we can and whatnot. So there is some – the chat around that is exactly the same, you know, back to basics.
Yeah.
You know, doing the one percenters and stock levels are low. But, you know, everyone's having – been just come off a – you know, majority of the staff come off their best year.
Yes.
So there is a lot of momentum there.
Yeah.
And I think those type of agents are always going to have – longevity.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, but stock levels are low and it is back to basics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me, okay, so your background, you started real estate 2018?
2017, I think. I don't know, it's 6 years now. So
okay.
It as you know, it becomes a bit of a blur.
It's a little blur.
Yeah.
So what your background, sales and marketing, tell us a bit about where you came from, what got you into real estate.
So a couple of things got me into real estate. One, my old man's been in real estate for 50 odd years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who's your old man?
So, Alan Jones was on the board of REWA in the 90s.
Right.
He's commercial.
Yeah.
Now doing residential as well.
Mm-hmm.
Bought Rain and Horn to WA.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So is my background marketing, buyer behavior, and started off in retail, went to wholesale, into state sales manager, national sales manager.
Mm-hmm. Brand, so always a sales
brand
background.
All in sales
yeah.
and communication. And then we had our own business for a little while. My old man always wanted me to get into it. But just like everyone, you know, I had a thought process about real estate agents.
Yeah,
you know,
and you probably want to forge your own path as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, exactly. And then 37, I decided let's give it a crack.
Let's go.
For whatever reason. And we had a business on the side running. So, you know, had a little bit of income coming in, which mm-hmm. I think is really important.
Yeah, because I was just going to say, you said earlier off air that your daughters are 7 and 10.
Yeah.
So you had a one-year-old when you went into real estate.
One-year-old. Yeah, a couple other things going on in our life at that time. And, but, you know, really supportive wife.
Yeah.
You know, we did have income coming in
mm-hmm.
just to support it, because I think what a lot of people don't realize when you come into real estate, it is an apprenticeship.
Yes.
You know, that first couple of years, good luck making money.
Yeah. You know? And there was no award back then. You weren't getting a minimum wage.
No, exactly. Yep. You know, yep. I mean, so I think even back then, I think, you know, the agency had to pay you a little bit of forward income.
Right.
But obviously you have to pay that back. Yeah. So yeah, got into it in, you know, 6 years ago.
With Davey. Yeah, that's
yeah, 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 with Davey. I love the idea that, you know, family business.
Yeah.
You know, they've been around for 40 years mm-hmm. and great little vibe in there. So yeah, and haven't looked back. It's, you know, the first, as I said, that apprenticeship stage, that first 3 years is very, very tough. And I think you see a lot of people bow out just before they hit their strides.
Yeah.
You know, which is you're totally understandable. It's an emotional roller coaster, and I'm sure you see it day in, day out with reps.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's been a ride.
Be brutal.
Oh,
were you,
be brutal.
When you came in, were you doing an apprenticeship with someone? Were you working alongside someone? Did you just kind of crack out on your own?
Yeah, look, I just with my background, I think in marketing and whatnot, you know, I sort of and one of the brands I used to work for in wholesale, you know, it was a small brand that we turned big.
Okay.
So it's about, I guess, back then, you know, I mean, yeah, there was the Davey brand, but no one knew who I was.
Yeah.
So you have to instill confidence in people, which is always probably the hardest thing to do is to sell yourself, because mm-hmm. I think we've all got our own interpretations of ourselves,
absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely,
And whatnot, and, you know, self-beliefs and whatever. So that was probably the hardest bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, but, you know, I knew that if people could trust me, I had their best interests at heart, and that was the best way to go forward, I think.
Do you think you had a little bit of a leg up? A, you were 37, not 27.
100%.
And B, you lived in Duncraig, right? So, and you started out trying to sell in that area, is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. So, and you know, I think when I first moved in there 18 years ago, it was a great suburb, great family suburb, always has been. But the changes between then and when I started real estate, it had really sort of started to see that next generation come through.
Yeah.
I know when I purchased, my wife's friends and my friends were buying house and land packages in the newer suburbs and going, why are you buying an old house in Duncraig?
Yeah.
It was like that. It's like, well, you know, worst house, best street kind of situation.
Yeah, yeah.
You buy an older house in a really good suburb, longevity.
Yeah.
And, so starting then, 37, couple of kids, you know, I had a daughter starting at the primary school.
That helps,
you know,
Some relatability.
You know, and our streets, you know, your standard street in an old suburb, you know, you've got your surrogate grandparents in there and, you know, you have your street parties for Christmas and things like that. So you start selling to people, the buyers,
you know,
more than anything, that, hey, look, this is a great suburb. And I still find it now, the demographic that I'm selling to
mm-hmm.
is me.
Is you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, young family. And the majority of the time, the people I'm selling for are my parents.
Are your parents. Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? So it's just that. It's just that nice little.
Did you have an incumbent agent that you were up against back then? Because at the moment, it's kind of you and Aaron Green, right?
Yep.
In Duncraig, the two core. And Aaron's also probably started a similar time to you.
Yeah, I remember meeting Aaron when I first started.
Yeah.
One of the sales managers at my work, who was a great mentor, said, look, just go around and meet your
competitors. Yeah.
Now, at that stage, I think Aaron had been in there maybe 18 months.
Yeah.
And I went to one of his home opens. He was like, you know, great to meet you. Good luck, you know.
Yeah.
Make sure you do this, this, and this. And funnily enough, I haven't bumped into him again for like 3 years until I went to a house. One of his home opens the other day. For a client or a mate that's looking in the area. And, you know, same thing. You know,
yeah.
It's like, oh, how are you going? And, you know, so he was probably the guy I was looking at.
Right.
For sure. There was some older people I shouldn't say older people, but people who'd been in the industry for a while. That I'd looked at, but, you know, same demographic as myself. You know,
running your own race kind of thing.
Yeah. And Aaron had a family at that stage and same sort of thing. So,
yeah.
Called me a couple of home truths. So,
tell me what some of the key things. As a kind of someone coming into the industry that hadn't done it before but had a really solid background in sales and marketing, what were some of the key things you implemented to kind of get your name? You just said you built – your experience was building a small brand into a national brand and you kind of used that.
Yep.
What were those key lessons or key things that you're implementing?
Yeah, I think I've been in sales since 97
mm-hmm.
for a variety of, you know, obviously starting in retail and whatnot, as a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
But sales, I think, sorry, I'm just trying to think of the best way to put it. It's not reinventing the wheel.
Yeah.
It's all the one percenters.
Yeah.
And I think what I relate to the most as a consumer is not someone telling me what to buy,
mm-hmm.
you know, or that they're the best or the rest of it. You try and be as honest as you can. And I know mm-hmm. that sounds so cliche.
Yeah.
You know, but.
No, I think that's fair.
But you actually want to get across to people, hey, look, I do want to work with you. I want to help you out. You know, I guess the belief at the start was, yeah, I can do it. I can do it. Whereas now it's like, yeah, I know I can do it.
Yeah.
And I want to
work with me.
Hopefully we can work together. But it's speed dating, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, coming into it originally, I started a Facebook group
mm-hmm.
For the community, which was, you know, that's not, again, not reinventing the wheel. But
back then it wasn't a common thing.
No.
I think it became more common and everyone was kind of like, let's, you know, this seems to be the thing to do. Let's do this.
Yeah, 100%. And I think a lot of people had, you know, Facebook pages and whatnot, but I thought a group would be a way to, of course, market myself. There's no way around that. You know, that's what it's there for. And, geez, they're time consuming.
Whew,
but, you know, 6 years on, just over 4,500 members on the group, and the majority of them are local. There's a lot of spam that comes through, but, you know, I've got to approve every single post. You get people to get upset at comments. You get, you know, but I think that I found that a really good way to engage with local businesses. We had we did a My Dun Craig card
mm-hmm.
that people could use. Unfortunately, as my real estate career got really busy, I kind of lost track of that a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, the My Dun, it's called My Dun Craig, and you know, people use it as a community platform, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, so
I think it's funny that the general public, I'm in the hills, I'm in Darlington, and we have a similar thing. And it was started by the Earnshaws, the real estate agency.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And I think most people using that platform just wouldn't know that was the way it started, because it is just your local source of information. So, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's great that's the way these things have come about.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously, you know, there's a little bit of self-promotion on there every now and then.
Of course.
You got to sneak that in there. The funny thing about those things, I don't actually think people know the time that goes into it.
No.
You know?
Absolutely not.
You know, you get probably 20 to 30 posts a day that you've got to go through. And
are you doing that yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Still going through it. And then you get, you know, and, you know, I love the community and love people interacting, but, you know, people get upset at comments and report comments, and then you've got to manage that. And it's, and that's fine. And I think, you know, having kids in the school and, you know, sponsoring PNCs and all the rest of it, you get to know quite a lot of people in the suburb. So
it's old school rapport building, relationship building 101, right?
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, getting back to what you said before about what do you do when you start to try and get in there, it's, you know, it's belly to belly stuff. I've never been one for door knocking. That's not me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never been one for cold calling.
Mm-hmm.
That's not me either.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But mm-hmm. for me, I was always taught that grab the few things that you are passionate about and that you're good at
mm-hmm.
and do it repetitively.
Yeah.
You know, so I know, and there's people in in the Davey group,
mm-hmm.
love cold calling.
Yeah.
And it works really, really well for them. Another couple that, you know, door knocking is their thing. That's great.
Yeah.
No worries. But for me, it's not. I don't have that in me,
mm-hmm.
And I'd rather be focusing on other ways of.
It's also one of those things that if you're coming into the industry as a rookie at 20, and your sales manager or your coach is like, "This is what you got to do, keeping you accountable," rah rah rah,
yep.
then that's how you can get into it. But coming in a little bit more maturity, this background in sales, you know what your strengths are, right?
100%.
You don't have to be coached in that regard, and it's kind of like, when you've been in sales, you know, I think one of the key things of a good salesperson is being able to build rapport really quickly with someone. Mm. And so
speed dating, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly what you said.
Yeah.
So, you know where those strengths are and those weaknesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I remember coming in and seeing, you know, there's some pretty sharp people in the industry.
Absolutely.
When I say sharp, I don't necessarily mean, you know, with their smarts and whatnot, but, you know, polished shoes and really clean cut, you know, look like they should be models and things like that. It's like, then you got little old me, you know,
who are these agents?
5'3", 5'4" on a good day in heels, you know, scruffy beard and you know, I haven't changed the way I speak, haven't changed the way I approach people. It's the same. And I hope that comes across as genuine and not cocky, but it's you know, I think about myself the same as everyone else does, you know, and I know my flaws and all the rest of it, but I'm genuine when I come across to people and say, look, I do want to help you and I think, you know, would be a good fit and this is how I think we should market your property. Mm-hmm. I think I've got the background to say that.
Yeah.
And if that comes across, then great, but, you know, you're not going to win every listing.
No. You know? And nor do you want to.
No. And you think, I always say, you think, you know, you meet hundreds and hundreds of people throughout your life and throughout the year and whatever, and how many best friends do you have?
Yeah, exactly.
That you keep in contact with. So you can sort of understand if you do meet someone and they don't warm to you straight away, then they're going to go with someone else.
Yeah.
And you can't help that. And I think, you know, it's really hard not to get in your head about that.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's the name of the game.
You got to move on.
I had a similar conversation I always remember with Todd Utley, who I'm sure you know.
Yeah, Todd and I have friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, great guy.
And he said the same thing, you know. I walk into an appraisal and they're either going to like me and they want to work with me or they don't. And I can't change that.
Yeah.
I'm the human that I am. I'm not going to change.
Yeah.
So,
and look at his results.
Exactly.
You know,
absolutely.
Speak for himself. Exactly. You know, another guy that's probably not 6 foot and you could be a model. Todd could definitely be a model. But, you know, I've known Todd prior to getting into real estate.
Yeah.
You know, he's always been successful and he's got his wife Danny with him now.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, they smashed it out of the park.
Yeah.
And I think he's a great guy to look at and he's genuine. Mm-hmm. I mean, what you see is what you get. He
exactly,
sits here
and
it's exactly the same time in, time out. And,
yeah.
And I think they're the kind of people I'd want to work with.
Want to work with.
Yeah.
100%. Quickly, I want to talk about the market because obviously in the last 6 years, it's changed.
Yep.
So we've gone from a market where, you know, there was thousands of listings, people were struggling to actually sell property.
Yeah.
Prices were very, very low. Then we had COVID hit, you know, and now we're in a completely, everything's flipped, right?
Yep.
So tell me, have you changed the way you do business and what have you learned and implemented over the last 6 years?
Yeah, 100%. Look, changed the way I do business because, you know, after being in, I haven't been in a long time, but 6 years is a good stint.
Mm-hmm.
You learn and what, how to manage processes and whatnot. You know, things have changed dramatically. When I first started, you know, it was after the crash, you know, 2017, prices were still low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those people that were having that 7 to 10 year sale were still selling below what they purchased it for. We were having property sit on the market for 3 months.
Yeah.
You had listings expire. You know, you're chasing expired listings that hadn't sold and trying to marry up buyers and all the rest of it. So very, very different. Fast forward to COVID, you know, just before COVID, in our area especially, we just got back to the height.
Yeah.
And maybe a little bit more. And then COVID hit and was like, oh my God. I think the whole world just went,
we're done.
Prices are going to drop.
Yeah.
And for 6 weeks they did.
Yeah.
You know, 6 to 8 weeks. I remember got an offer on a property the week of COVID.
Yeah.
First weekend and it went great price. We were ecstatic. Finance was squashed within a week.
Really?
Yeah. You know, one of them lost their job. The other one thought they were going to lose their job and for whatever reason, you know, it was squashed. Probably didn't sell for anywhere close to that. But within, you know, 8 weeks we were back on. I remember doing, you know, virtual tours, you know, the property market started going gangbusters. You know, I think I sold 5 properties in a week sitting at home.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, oh my God.
It was a wild time.
And then it went wild.
And
look, I think, you know, Perth was in a perfect storm at that stage. You know, it was a quiet little city and all of a sudden COVID hit and it was like, it was the city to be.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't getting COVID. It sounds weird saying that word all the time now, doesn't it?
I know. I was thinking the other day something about like a rat test. Did you do a rat? And I was like, God, 4 years ago, wasn't even a word.
Oh, look.
It's so weird.
Yeah, anyway. And, you know, I'm sure you're the same. Everyone's sending reels now about, you know, what happened during that time and whatnot. But going back to then, it was a crazy, crazy time. You know, I mean, we all of a sudden, everyone wanted to fly, come home back to Perth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the population growth, I think we had 25,000 people come back into Perth or something mm-hmm. like that. It was crazy. So all of a sudden, properties are going through the roof, and it, you know, it's the most affordable capital city in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah. then, as we were talking about off air, then your investors start coming in and going, okay, well, you know, it looks like prices are going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
The rental market went crazy, and now we are where we are now, where yeah. there's no rentals, no property on the market. We're in a stalemate.
Yeah.
And prices continue to increase,
mm-hmm.
as does the population. Yeah. So what's changed is massive, you know, and there's been some massive probably the biggest change that came through was with COVID was good old DocuSign.
Yes.
You know, I was just saying to someone the other day, one of the colleagues that I've got at work who came in after COVID started.
Oh, right. So they never had to ferry contracts around. Oh.
Like I was saying, I used to be out till 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
You know, my wife would be calling me going, where are you? I was like, I've got to get this offer done. We, you know,
yeah.
someone lives in, you know, Greenwood and now that someone else lives in Quinns Rocks, you know, yeah. and you're going to
back
and from.
And forth,
yeah,
back and
100%.
Forth.
Whereas yeah. the biggest thing is a lot of trying to get in front of someone to write an offer is very, very difficult
mm-hmm.
and you don't want to be too pushy. But
yeah.
especially for first home buyers that have never gone through a contract before, you want to sit down and go, well, hey, look, this is the ins and outs of it.
Yeah.
Nope, just send it by a DocuSign.
Do you think that's something that's been lost?
100%.
Yeah. Do you try to, particularly with first home buyers, still go through that process?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't forget who you were prior to getting into real estate.
Mm.
I'd never seen a contract.
Yeah.
Before. Well, I had, but, you know, buying houses I had, but you know, it was daunting.
Yeah.
You know, you might go through it 2-3 times in your lifetime.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah. yeah.
And yeah, it's a contract. You know, you've got to be careful on it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important to sit down and tell people exactly what they are signing. I mean,
yes.
that sounds silly, but a lot of people are blasé about it. And
even understanding what a, you know, building and pest inspection.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Yes, you can put that on there, but it, you know, if only if these things come back.
Yeah, it doesn't mean a lot, does it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we've all been through it. I don't know about you, but when I purchased a house, it was prior to being in real estate. You get the building report back and you go, oh, jeepers.
Sure.
And you're like, okay, well, can you fix that, and that? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
Read the contract. You're like, well, you know.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, it's that's probably been the biggest change, I think, is the belly-to-belly stuff. But I think now more than ever as well, buyers are putting in multiple offers on multiple properties
mm-hmm.
and not getting them.
Yeah.
So they don't want to waste their time either. So, yeah, it's that's probably been
the biggest change.
Yeah.
That buyer management as well, I guess, when you're like managing 35 groups or more.
Yeah, or, I mean, you know, some home opens will have 60 groups through it in half an hour.
Yeah, that's insane.
And how are you meant to get back to all of them?
Yeah.
You know?
How do you even see a house in that time?
Yeah, well,
I guess in this market that they're so they're used to it, they kind of know what they're looking for. They, you know, but really, when you think about a buyer having to make a decision and like when it's so competitive, after seeing a property for half an hour,
I don't know whether you caught that, but I kind of started smiling because 100%, I do agree with you. But personal story, my wife and I were doing a big build. Obviously, that's been a massive change as well. You can't build. We were extending on our place in Duncraig and had to pull out because the contract went crazy.
I'd
love to say the figure and I'll tell you off air, but it was just ridiculous
bonkers.
For an extension. And
yeah.
We were up in Launceston for a weekend away and we went into a house up there. We were like, you know, I've always surfed up there and whatnot. Love to buy a house.
Yeah.
Walked into one just to have a quick look, private viewing, walked out. Wife said, oh, I really like that. Put an offer in on and bought it.
Yeah.
We'd been in there 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So
yeah. When you know, you know.
I don't like telling personal stories like that.
No.
But we're still in
it. It relates.
So just side note, we're still in a very modest house because of that.
Yeah.
But you know, it's one of those things that, yeah, look, I understand it. You know, when you see something and you kind of get the cogs are moving.
Yeah, that emotional attachment happens quickly.
Yeah.
I only comment because my husband's the opposite. Well, not the opposite, but the house that we bought, when we went through the first home open, it was really busy and he was like, I don't want a bar of it. There's too many people, you know. And so I said, let's go back to the weeknight. Mm. There was only one other group there.
Yeah.
And then he could actually have a look around. But I had to really sell it because he just doesn't want the people around.
Yeah. Look, I really understand that.
Yeah.
It's, and when I'm selling a process to a seller or a vendor, that's the kind of thing we have to talk about as well. Because, look, it's great to say, oh.
Correct. Competition.
Yeah. Well, you want competition, of but course. You want genuine competition.
Yeah.
So it's great to say, oh, we had 60 groups through a home open on the weekend. That's not always good because you may miss out on that buyer that just gets scared off.
Yeah.
You know, and they just may need a bit of coercion. And I think, you know, having that background in marketing, you understand you do a lot of buyer behavior and whatnot. And people do have anxious ticks and crowds are one of them, you know. So, and if you think at the moment there's a lot of emotion around buying and a lot of fear of missing out, that some of those people, not all, and the fear of missing out is great because, you know, you get that competition, but some just don't want to get emotionally involved. So they're just like, well, that's not for us.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got to be a little bit careful in this market on it. I'm not saying there's a right and wrong way to market. Everyone's got their way to do it. But, you know, I think it definitely is a conversation.
Yeah, it's something to be mindful. Another thing to be mindful of, I guess.
100%.
Yeah.
You know, I went, you know, some of the ones you can't even get down the street. And I think we've all been there and it's just crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Bonkers.
Mm.
On that note, Chris, I have held you here long enough. Been a pleasure.
I've chatted your ear off, haven't I?
I loved it. No, you haven't chatted my ear off. We've had a great chat. I really appreciate your time.
No, I appreciate the invite to come in and say good day.
Love
it. You talk a lot on the phone with all you girls.
I know.
And, you know, I've been using Crib since I started.
Since you started?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. It's been a while.
Is this where I give you a big plug and say you guys are the bestest ever?
That's why we pay you to come in. Thanks so much, mate. I look forward to seeing some big numbers, Nick. Next financial.
No pressure.
Hopefully the stock will start to come back up, those DDD. And, chat to you soon.
Thanks very much.